Andrew, it's an interesting stat. The Oilers, they just can't win in Long Island for whatever reason. And tonight they go in against a team that seemingly has picked up where they left off last year, a balanced team that doesn't give up a lot.
Yeah, the Islanders' second game was certainly a little bit more representative of, I think, how they want to play than that first game. You know, you almost throw out the game, a 2-1 loss to the Capitals. The Caps had played one game, and the Islanders, you know, knocking off the off-season rust. And they still, you know, it was still a 2-1 game. It wasn't bad. But, you know, that 4-1 win over the Jets, they get points from 10 different players. And, you know, the top line's going with Matthew Barzal and Anders Lee and Jordan Eberle. Barzy probably could have had 2 or 3 goals in the game. And I just thought, yeah, like you said, they got sort of back to their structure, especially defensively, although Barry Trotz was not happy with their neutral zone structure. So they've been working on that as well. And, you know, their entries were better, but at times early in the game, they did have trouble getting the puck over the red line a little bit.
What about the addition of Derek Brassard? You know, a bit of a late summer addition. How's he fit in riding kind of that third line?
Yeah, no, I like it. I think you saw it in Anthony Beauvillier's game on Thursday, a goal and an assist, and Bo looked dangerous a lot of the game. And I think Brassard and Leo Komarov, the right wing on that line, both had a lot to do with that. Brass is just looking for a little bit of stability at this point. He bounces around 3 teams last season, said, you know, pretty much he never felt comfortable with the Penguins, just never had a role there where he felt like he fit in. He goes to the Panthers, and he said as soon as he got to the Panthers, he knew he was going to get traded because Florida was looking to cut salary. He had no idea why Florida acquired him. So, you know, he told me he sort of was a little bit checked out the whole month he was down there in Florida, and then he has to jump right back into it in the playoff push, you know, with Colorado, and it was hard to rev the engines up again. So he's really looking to have a bounce back year. I like the way he's been skating. Brass has always been a very, very, very smart player. I think he sees the ice very well. You know, he's on the other side of 30 now, but, you know, he can use that kind of intelligence to get into the right positions. And he still throws a nice pass. He still gets around the crease. They're using him on the power play. So, yeah, I thought that was a sneaky good signing by the Islanders late August. 1 year, $1.2 million. There's no risk, really, on the Islanders end from that.
Andrew Gross joins us, beat reporter for the New York Islanders. Orders take them on tonight. Noah Dobson looks to be making his first NHL start tonight, and Johnny Boychuk comes out. Is Boychuk nicked up?
No, he's fine. And in fact, Johnny told me during training camp, this is as good as he's felt, like, probably in about 3 years. You know, the last 2 off seasons were rough ones for him, and he said he had this whole summer to really, you know, just be healthy and get ready for an NHL season properly. So he's really jazzed about his prospects this year, and it really does not have anything to do, I think, with the way Johnny played in the first 2 games. They just don't want Noah sitting too long, and it really, this is the only slot he can go into. Both Johnny and Noah played with Nick Leddy. They're both right-handed shots. They both played with the lefty Nick Leddy in training camp, and Barry Trotz is not going to break up either of his other 2 pairs with Devontae Scott Mayfield and Adam Pellick, Ryan Pulock. So really, Boychuk, you know, it was really the only spot Barry could put Noah Dobson in, and he said this year, you know, even more so than last season, he's going to be shuttling guys in and out more because he really feels like, you know, 1 through 23, everyone on the roster, you know, all the skaters can play at any given moment. So and he doesn't want anyone sitting for too long. So I think you're going to, you know, see some things on the surface this year where you're thinking, you know, why is that guy scratched? But it's really just Barry trying to use everything in his toolbox.
You look at last year's success, as we're speaking with Andrew Gross, Islanders reporter with Newsday, the Oilers take on the Islanders tonight. When you look at the success they had last year, you know, so many things went right, a whole new management, new coaching staff, all that kind of stuff. You know, are they going to be able to replicate that energy they had last year and push it through? Because I see a lot of experts thinking that this group maybe falls out of the playoffs.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of those predictions. And honestly, the guys in the room, you know, have the same exact attitude as they did last season in that, you know, we're just, it's just an opportunity to show everyone how wrong they are. Barry's talked about, and the players too, that they could be an even better team this season and get fewer points, because I think the Metro has toughened up a little bit and points are going to be, you know, even tougher to come by. But, you know, I'm not one of those guys who sees them falling out of the playoffs. I think I predicted them to finish second in the division again. I really like this group. I just do. I see the chemistry that they're talking about, and I see the value in it. And I really do think that helps a team. I mean, Strudge, you can probably talk to that more than I could, but I really think that this team really enjoys playing with each other, and they're going to get some balanced scoring. I mean, they're not going to be the highest scoring team in the league, but I do think, you know, a guy like Matthew Barzell has a real opportunity to, you know, strongly up his point production from last season, just because he's second year in the system. I think he understands better how to handle his defensive responsibilities and really turn that around and create offensive off of that. You kind of saw that towards the end of last season. The power play looks like it's going to be better. They've got more puck movement going on under Jim Hiller, and they're directing more pucks at net. They, you know, in the preseason, a couple of rebound power play goals, and same deal the other night. So they're just around the crease a little bit more with pucks on the power play, and that'll help Barzy's point production too. So I see this being a playoff team in the long run.
Andrew, speaking of Matt Barzell, we saw a lot of RFAs go late into this summer until they got their contracts done. He had a fantastic rookie season with 82.5 points, I think it was, and then he dropped down to 62 last year. Lou Lamoriello is historically a guy who's, you know, a tough negotiator when it comes to contracts. So what would be your best guess on the length of a deal that Barzell and the Islanders eventually settle on?
It's kind of tough to predict, only because everything Lou does is tough to predict. My one prediction on this is I think it's going to be a very difficult negotiation. I do see the trend from this offseason, and I think Barzy fits right into that. I think he's going to want to get paid on that level. You know, you're talking about maybe the 10, 11 million a year range, you know, maybe you're, you know, 9.5 and above. I definitely think he's going to want to get paid. And the smart play there is to take the shorter term and then to cash in when you're an unrestricted free agent as well. So, you know, I think it would be the Islanders who would want to lock him in to a longer-term deal. So there's going to have to be a compromise. Maybe the Islanders by 1 or 2 years if it's UFA years. I don't know, you know, just spitballing whether Barzy goes for that. He's still very young. He's 22. So, you know, I mean, he might be looking for a 3-4, you know, 5-year deal, something in there, and then maybe Lou wants to, you know, wrap him up now for the 8 years, and there's going to have to be a compromise someplace. But yeah, I could see this, you know, it has all the makings of what could be a very difficult negotiation.
Talking New York Islanders, who take on the Oilers tonight with Andrew Gross. He's Islanders reporter with Newsday. Andrew, Josh Hosang, every time that, you know, something gets mentioned about him, every Oilers fan or a lot of Oilers fans think he'd be a fit here. Where is he at right now, and where do you see his future going to be in the NHL or another organization?
Yeah, that is very much up in the air right now. He, you know, he did not make the Islanders out of training camp again. They cleared waivers, so any team in the NHL, you know, could have brought him on. He's relatively cheap. I think he's at like $825, and he's on on the two-way deal, I believe. Any team could have had him. You know, my belief is that Lou's been dangling him in trades, probably going back to last season's trade deadline. No takers, so he passes through waivers, and he does he does not report to Bridgeport in the AHL to the Sound Tigers, and it comes out that Lou told him not to report because Josh Hosang's side has asked for a trade. You know, and so Lou said, until we get this resolved, he didn't really want Josh around the Sound Tigers being a distraction. So that's sort of where we're at right now, is this limbo where he has not been around Bridgeport. And, you know, Lou said he was going to try and accommodate him with the trade. And Lou, you know, I brought up Europe as a potential option where, you know, if they can't trade him, and, you know, and Lou said, no, he is going to be in an NHL organization this season, someplace where he can be recallable. And that will either be, you know, if Lou can't find a trade, I mean, the way Lou described it, at some point he is going to go to Josh's representation and say there's no trade to be had. And at that point, Lou's expectation is Hosang reports to the Sound Tigers and tries to get back to the Islanders. So that's sort of where we're at right now. There's been no trade forthcoming, and Josh has not been told to report back to Bridgeport yet.
When you look at his overall game, is he an NHL player from what you've seen?
Certainly offensively. I mean, he has all the puck handling skills and the scoring instincts and, you know, the skating ability to be an effective NHL scorer. The question has been through the whole time, you know, whether coaches can trust him out there defensively and whether he basically gets it, how you have to play in the NHL. And I think he's getting it more. I mean, I saw improvement in him during training camp and in the preseason in terms of him, you know, getting back on defense, you know, supporting his teammates who had pinched, you know, a defenseman pinches up, Josh was getting back, you know, on defense. And that's stuff we hadn't seen in past training camps or preseasons. So I think he's sort of on that precipice. And if that becomes consistent, then, yeah, I think NHL coaches could trust him. And, boy, you do look at that talent, and it's tantalizing. But, you know, it's not an overall package to the satisfaction yet, certainly of Islanders management.
Andrew, enjoy the game tonight. Should be interesting to see what happens. Which line or defense pairing do you think will see McDavid and Draisaitl the most?
Probably the Pellick-Kulak pairing. That's usually who Trotz matches up against the other team's top line. So I would expect Pellick and Kulak on the ice a lot when Connor's on the ice.
Appreciate your time, Andrew. Thanks.
Great to talk to you guys as always. Have a good one.